Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean-Luc Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
You're listening to Wins Above Fantasy, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network with Van Burnett and Steve Gisswelli.
Welcome back, everyone. It is Wins Above Fantasy, episode 145. Today is Thursday, June 27th. I'm Van Burnett, joined as always by Steve Gisswelli. Got a fantastic show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as we are, believe it or not, at the midway point of the season. And what better time to, you know, go through the stats, look at some of the top performers, and do the most oversimplification prorating of just doubling what numbers we see and saying that's definitely what they're going to do. No, jokes aside, we're going to assess who the hitter MVPs were so far this season, and look at, you know, some numbers under the hood as we do, and just determine if it is basically a performance we're buying or if we're selling a little bit. And then we've also got some guys we are dubbing the LVPs, the least valuable players. We got ADP lined up to look back at what seems like ages ago, back in March during draft season, where we had some of these guys evaluated, and it's going to be fantastic breaking it all down. Steve, looking forward to it, man. I know this was a topic that had popped up in the Discord that you kind of threw our way, and it dovetailed to another topic we were going to talk about anyway, with some of those slow starters, Nolan Arenado, ones of that nature. So yeah, it's a fun topic. It's always nice when you're in the thick of the season to kind of zoom out and look at something as, broad of a milestone as a midway point, and excited about it. And also excited, Steve, because my home league team is crushing it. And a lot of these names are the reason why. So good vibes tonight, man. How are we doing out there?
It's good. It's good. My home league team has started to pick it up too. Have had a few big weeks in a row, but I don't have many of these guys, surprisingly. Wish I had more shares, but yeah. Before we get started, just wanted to give a shout out to B Goff in the Pitcherless Discord. BEEGAF, BEE. I think that's three B's. GAF in the Discord for this topic idea. He just, we were talking today and gave a list of fantasy MVPs, at least hitting wise. Versus ADP, that have been some of the best hitters that are for fantasy so far. It was kind of surprising to see this name, and we could do shows on these first rounders who are amazing. Jose Ramirez, Otani, but leagues are won with players like this that are drafted at extreme value. So I thought it was an interesting topic. We were thrown around, like you hinted at, disappointing players and guys that have been cut at high prices, sort of the opposite end of this, and we'll get to that. But it being the like official halfway point of the season, I know we've done all-star shows and around all-star break, but we are always like, hey, it's a caveat that we're like 60% of the season, not 50. It being the full true halfway point, and for fantasy, for roto leagues, like this is exactly like it goes down to the last day. I think it's a good time to bring it up, and a lot of guys that we haven't really talked about too, because like there's not much actionable. Like these guys have been added and held, and it's interesting that we get to talk about them. We don't really talk about these guys because there's not much to say, but I kind of am excited to throw them some flowers and see why they've broken out and why they had a lower draft day cost than they should have, especially with a few guys that you were high on. We could talk about that process too, and how we could spot this a bit earlier and sort of get better. That's always a goal of mine, to get better as a fantasy player. So an episode like this, I think, could lead to doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, I mean, whether you're talking about the underperformers or the you know, I don't want to say overperformers, but the MVPs, I think this is still relevant in that it is trade season. So I think we got to do our diligence on assessing if we're buying it or not. So that's kind of the flip of it. But you're totally right, Steve. Some of these names are ones that, you know, they just don't come up that often, because if you drafted them, you kind of found gold, and the managers that have them would probably need a lot, to be fair, to trade them away. But we got 14 names we are going to be talking through. So unless you got anything to add, Steve, I say we just jump right in.
No, list the names. A long one, so let's get right into it.
Yeah, so the first one is one near and dear to me, Steve, and one I can't take too much credit for, but it is a home league captain, Gunnar Henderson. And this was one of those draft picks that, real quick, I think I talked about it on the pod, that he fell to me. It wasn't a name I targeted. I spent a lot of time looking at it, and I was like, do I trust Gunnar? I think on the record, on the show, I said, my problem with Gunnar is I feel like his upside is like, you know, 30 homers, 10 steals, and 275, which is what you can get from a guy like three or four rounds later. Well, he is proving me wrong in the most beautiful way. He's batting 282. He already has 26 homers, and he's got 13 steals to go with it. Actually, I think his, including tonight, a 288 average, 1005 OPS. Everything under the hood looks like he is just evolving as a player at his young age into being a fantasy all-star. 14th in the majors in hard contact. He already had like a 70th, 75th percentile barrel rate, and that's jumped up to 90th percentile this year. One thing that's interesting about Gunnar is his name did pop up when we did quite a bit of the bat speed metrics with Kyle Bland, and we looked at Kyle Bland's acceleration metric, where he kind of took that the fastest swing for the shortest swing length being acceleration, and Gunnar Henderson was number 6 on that list. So that list is starting to have some merit in my eyes, which I know that's why Kyle, you know, felt it would be a good one to look at, but everyone is kind of quick to dismiss that. That list popped up a few times on the MVPs so far this season, so I think that's already going to be a pretty useful tool. But yeah, Gunnar Henderson, Steve, it seems like his time has come. His ADP was 30th, so he had to be really good, but he's already been phenomenal. And I don't have the, Razzball player rater right in front of me. Let me find where Gunnar is. He is number 4 in 5x5 Razzball player rater. So talk to me about Gunnar. It's been an incredible season so far.
I have one share of Gunnar. It's in TGFBI. Ooh, nice. And it's a league where I had the 5th pick. And I went Betts and Seager in my first two rounds. And I don't know. I got him in the third round. So a little bit past his ADP. TGFBI was, you know, early or late February. It dragged on to early March. And I think I kind of panicked with the pick, or after I made the pick, I was like, oh man, I kind of have three shortstops here in Betts, Seager, and Henderson. Obviously, Betts and Henderson both had different position eligibility, in that Henderson could play third. That's where he played last year, and Betts had second. So it was fine, and the team was doing pretty well until Betts went down, which has been a big hurt. And then my first two pitchers, or my first three pitchers, were Bobby Miller, David Bednar, and Jesus Luzardo. So, yeah, not great there as far as two guys that have been injured, and Bednar also just went on the injured list. So, but that's enough for my TGFBI team. So that being said, like, I wasn't like, I don't want to give myself too much credit. It kind of was, I was kind of backed into the Henderson pick, and it worked out really well. But hey, sometimes let me lucky than good, you know.
You know, I love talking draft. So I just pulled up my kind of league draft order. Listen to the pit of hitters after Gunner. So I think we did well to grab Gunner, because then you have Pete Alonso that's been, you know, solid enough in terms of the 16 homers, 240 average. You want more. But Bo Bichette, major struggles. Michael Harris II, major struggles. Then you got C.J. Abrams, who's been great. But Machado struggles. Randy Arozarena struggles. Trout with the injury. Jazz Chisholm has been solid. But, yeah, that Cody Bellinger there. So it's definitely an area where, like, it dropped off from kind of that bankable fantasy all-star production. And with the exception of, like, Gunner and C.J. Abrams – a lot
Gunner,
of those like
Gunner,
big
Altuve,
misses.
And Adley have been really good, like, as far as like third and fourth round
that range
hitters. Abrams too have been really good, but he was also really quiet for a bit. He's picked it up again a little bit here. He's battled some injuries too, but yeah, also like Nico Horner's up there. He's been disappointing, hasn't really run that much. So yeah, it was sort of a cliff as far as hitter wise. But I mean, I think this is just sort of and I know, like, his counterpart, and he's going to be compared to this guy forever, and Corbin Carroll, since they came up at the same time, is sort of the flip side and the counter argument to what I'm about to say. But if you're betting on this guy, that a young guy that has extremely high end ceiling and process and results, like, this is the Corbin Carroll from 2023. You know, Carroll was going in that third, fourth round. I know it was a little different because Carroll didn't have much of a track record, but I think it's good to bet on, like, the third, fourth round high upside, high prospect, has shown some flashes.
He's 22 years old.
Yeah, he was 22 years old with, you know, a 123 WRC plus in 23, and, you know, he made the adjustments of cutting his K rate from 26% down to 23%, increased his walk rate from 9% to 12%. His quality of contact, all the plate distance metrics are better. You know,
yeah,
it's it went from a really good barrel rate to like elite at from 11% to 13.4%. The hard hit rate went from 52% up to 58%. So he's just, it's up there with, you know, some of the best players in the league. Like, the StatCast page is, you know, it's a Christmas tree. It's bright red. And here's what was also pretty interesting. In 23 versus fastball versus breaking balls and off speed, he hit 237 and 241 respectively. In 2024, he's hitting 333 versus breaking pitches. He's hitting 276 versus off speed pitches. Versus breaking, he's slugging 840 and 552 versus off-speed. That's up from 479 and 483. So just incredible. Like, he was really good versus fastballs, but had weaknesses versus the off-speed stuff and breaking stuff. Now he's just crushing everything. So congrats to everyone who drafted Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find, so far this season, he's mainly, so two DH appearances, the rest is shortstop, unlike last year where he had some, like, third snuck in there, I believe. So he'll just be a shortstop next year, but I mean,
was third eligible heading into at NFBC, too, so he played 20 games there last year at least.
So you have to call him a shortstop going into next year, and we also have to say we're buying this, right, Steve? So is he going to just be like a top, if you were to project out, top 10 overall pick next year?
I don't see how he's not in like the top 8.
The speed is not to be ignored either. Like, he's on pace for, again, oversimplifying, but 26 bags. I'm curious how much he's running, if he's been caught, just caught once, which is, you know, both good and bad, because you want to see him running like crazy for intention, but also 13 of 14 on the base paths. Why not
give him the ultra green? Who are the guys that you're taking above him?
Judge, Soto,
Ohtani. Soto, Ohtani. Soto would be close for me, because Soto doesn't run.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
It's shortstop versus outfield. Jose Ramirez or Gunnar Henderson for 2024.
I'm going Gunnar.
Jose Gunnar Henderson or Bobby Witt?
I think you go Bobby Witt there.
Okay. Gunnar Henderson or Ellie De La Cruz?
I think Gunnar.
I would lean Gunnar too, but I like that little hesitation there. That's exciting. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, I mean, that I think he's like probably like fourth or fifth on my board for next year so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Like, if you're looking, because even some of the usual suspects, like, so what about like a
Betts and Tucker? Yeah. I think I would still lean Gunnar over them, just because of the steals and
the age, and the position.
I mean,
yeah.
Betts obviously has all that position eligibility, so maybe I could see leaning that way. But the age might be the tiebreaker for me there.
Yeah, I mean, we might just continue to be seeing it, like we don't really know what the upside is. You know, it's just we're seeing that he is redefining it year over year. So. Yeah, congrats if you got him, like you said, Steve. We got to keep rolling, though, and the second one is one I'll lead in as well, Steve, because this was one of the few chalkboard picks that I'm going to be able to take a victory lap on this year. It's not AJ Puck or Jung-Hoo Lee for me. It's Marcelo Zuna, who is number 8 overall in 5x5 rankings, and he had an average draft pick of 144. So huge discount here. A lot of that, of course, was the util only designation. I think people were scared to jam up their roster. But this was one that not only I had on the chalkboard, this was also one that I fought Nick Pollock over a little bit with my too early mock draft in the pitcherless league. And to be fair, I shouldn't say fought with Nick over, because he did kind of admit that there's a lot of value. I think I got him around 150 overall. And I don't know how much it's worth kind of peeling the onion here. He's 33 years old. We all know Ozuna was kind of this boomerang guy, where he had a career year in 2017. Then he was kind of up and down, obviously had all the off the field stuff that is not good at all. So not exactly like a industry favorite by any stretch. But from just a production standpoint, last year he had 40 homers and 100 RBIs after having one of the worst possible starts to the season. That April last year he was 091. And then the rest of the way he was just Herculean, with like a 300 average and like 1,000 OPS. And everything looked phenomenal last year from like a underlying metric standpoint. His hard hit rate was 90th percentile. His barrel rate was 98th percentile. And yeah, when you add that with the Braves lineup, it's kind of just like, you know, what are you looking for? He hit 274 from an average standpoint. The K rate was just 23% last year. So you look at this year and everything has held or gotten better. So his average is up from 274 to 309. He has a 968 OPS. He has 21 homers. So everyone thought the 40 was going to be like a watermark at this age, and he's on pace to eclipse that. Then, of course, even with the Braves down here, you know you're getting a ton of volume stats. So he's got a 64 RBIs right now, which is, I'm sure, one of the highest in the league, to be on pace for 128. Don't have it right in front of me, but overall, yeah, we're just seeing more of the same from Ozuna at this point. It's like, what, 9 straight months of being basically what you could put on Yordan Alvarez and no one would know the difference. So I guess we have to ask, is it real? And if it is, talking about next year's draft, is Ozuna even at the DH like a third rounder?
I mean, I hope there's another discount on it. I'm sure I agree with you. I hope I did. I would have to go back to the tapes and listen to it.
I don't remember a huge amount of pushback.
But my rostership of him, and I don't know if I have any shares anywhere, tells me differently. And I wish I acted differently, especially considering my favorite hitter to draft was an old, discounted, util-only David Ortiz year after year, and profited off that from, like, you know, 2012 to 2016 whenever he retired.
Same.
So I wish I did more of that with Ozuna, because I think there's just a bias against util-only old hitters. Everything
Jade
under the hood about Ozuna last year showed us that it was real, and this year it's the same sort of thing, only he's like chasing less and actually squaring up the ball better. His launch angle sweet spot percentage is even better this year. It's all backed up by the quality of contact, the plate discipline, the strikeout rate, like you said, at 22% is very palatable. He's even walking a little bit more this year. The barrel percentage went from an obscene 16.6% up to 18.2%. It's the best hard hit rate of his career. So, I mean, I hope people doubt it, but, like, yeah, he should be a third rounder. Maybe he won't be because of the position eligibility and the age factor, but I'm hoping that there's a discount. Like, why was his ADP 144? That makes absolutely no sense. And dum-dums like me are the reason why I guess it was that low. Eighth overall on the Razzball Player Rater.
That's crazy. I think one thing, just with the bat speed metrics that have come out and everything, one thing that's interesting is, you would think Ozuna, for like how, you know, his length isn't huge, his speed isn't too fast, so like he would be kind of an interesting case study. But that's
83rd percentile for bat speed, so I mean, it's still
okay,
pretty good.
So he's still kind of up there.
Yeah.
It's just like I kind of expected him to be up there with the biggest ones. Like some of the names around him are like Michael Harris. Oh, I guess Tatis Jr., Machado. Okay, yeah. But that's Ozuna. If it makes you feel any better, Steve, the only league I have him in is Raz Slam, where I am in sixth. And in that same league, you are in first still. So I think I mean, taking a quick gander at that lineup for you. Okay, CJ Abrams is in there, who we said is having a great season. Yeah. We'll just table that for now. Luis Hill, that's been a WAF all-star so far, but not doing pitchers. Let's get to some more names here. We've got some outfielders and, more importantly, some guys that were deep on ADP. But we got to take our first ad break. We'll be right back after this.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean Lafitte.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings Menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with the breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Okay, so Steve, outfield has been a position that, you know, in the draft room, we kind of knew it was is scarce, and then it's only looked more and more scarce as the season has gone on. But one just steady Eddie outfielder has been Jarren Duran, who at an ADP of, what was it, about 140 overall. So very similar range
Same
to
ranges,
Ozuna there,
yeah.
Which is where we were shopping pitchers is probably why we don't have a lot.
And it's
of,
it's also so dependent. I come back to that great question that we got a year or two ago now from Little Piranha. It's so dependent on your team build. It's like, do you need speed at pick 140? Then you went Duran. If
Good point.
You needed power, you went Ozuna. If those were the two that you selected one way or the other, it was both good, both correct. But you know, now it could mean outside of the draft, you could have felt like, or during the draft, you could have felt you were light on speed and it didn't work out that way. And now you need power. So you're kicking yourself that you didn't take Ozuna or vice versa. So it is, it's just a caveat to having these hindsight conversations.
It is. Cause you're never going to like start your draft strategy by saying like, oh, I really want Ozuna at 144.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
let me load up on speed early on so I can afford to get him. It's always the other way around. So yeah, I hear you there. I think, just quick on Duran, 19th overall in the 5x5 ranks. The power has been solid at 7 homers for his standard, but 20 steals, the 55 runs, .287 average. And what's kind of cool for Duran is looking at last year, he had some IL stints. He only has 8 more plate appearances right now than all of last season. So from a volume standpoint, you can look at last year right next to this year, and his production has been almost identical. So he had one more homer last year through this amount of at-bats, and then 24 steals versus 20 that he has so far, was hitting .295. So it's almost like you can look at Duran, and you got a full season of data where he's been a .290 guy, pretty much at a 15 homer, 45 steal pace, and that's so productive at outfield. Yeah, that's lazy to just call that the player who he is, but when you look at some of like the XBA stuff, and obviously the speed is not in question, this is just a really good like OF2, maybe even flirting with an OF1, Steve. Really, really like what we're seeing here from Duran. I wish I had more shares.
This is a player that I usually miss out on. I like to draft hitters that have power and speed in the early round, and usually like a first baseman. So I don't necessarily like to run after the steals heavy guys in this area. And like you said, we do like to draft pitching in this area. These breakouts are harder for me to see, right? Because it was easy to question the 5.3% barrel rate. The hard hit rate for Duran was okay. It's better this year in the 79th percentile at 46.5%. Last year was still pretty good. Same thing, 46.3%, 77th percentile. So maybe that should have been more of a hint that there was some more capability for power and for quality contact metrics for Duran this year. But still, that was like the only thing. And now everything has gotten like better. He's chasing league average, whiffs, league average, strikeout, league average, walks, league average, barrel rate, slightly above league average. But that's all it really took for a guy that had 24 stolen bases in 332 plate appearances You know, has 20 stolen bases in 333 at-bats. Sorry, it was 332 at-bats last year, not plate appearances. 333 at-bats this year, 20 stolen bases. So it really didn't mean much. I mean, I also, you know, sometimes fall victim of this, but, like, he had an 828 OPS, like, despite the quality of contact metrics not being all that you want to see last year, he still slugged really well for a guy that is considered a contact and speed guy. So there were some signs there, and I think it was pretty easy to miss them, pretty easy to gloss over Jaron Duran, but it looks like he could be like a five category. Like this is like prime AJ Pollock, like,
oh,
for me.
Okay.
Like, you know,
I thought you were
high
going
teams
Christian
homer.
Yelich, like Marlins Christian.
Yeah,
Yelich,
I don't know if he has that much power.
Well, Marlins.
Yeah, maybe a little more power than Marlins Christian Yelich, right? Like, Marlins Christian Yelich was like 15 homers. Pollock, like, was like 19 to like 20 with, like, you know, back in Pollock's prime, like 35 stolen bases was like close to leading the league a lot of years. So that sort of the mold of the player that I think is here, and I like it. I mean, I think Duran could be sort of a guy that creeps up into like where Cody Bellinger was last year, as far as like ADP next year.
Yeah, fourth round, something like that.
Great defense. Like, there's pull power over the monster. Like, he's just banging doubles off the monster there. It's pretty impressive what Jaron Duran's done. Another guy that I really don't have any shares of, and wish I had more.
Yeah, Pollock's a good shout there, Steve. 2015, the career year for AJ Pollock, a 315 average, 20 homers, 39 steals.
Yeah.
Yelich, surprisingly, just because we were talking about it, 21 homers 1 year with the Marlins, but the most he ever stole with the Marlins was 20.
Yeah, he didn't really run that much. Yeah, he didn't really run that much.
Because I think everyone thinks when he went to the Brewers is when he unlocked the power, which is true, but he's also had his two highest steal seasons with the Brewers as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, fun comp there. But that's Jaron Duran.
He's almost like a current-day Yelich is a good
comp.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Duran.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a good call, because Yelich has definitely been a little more speed than Pop last year, at least. So Jurickson Profar is the next one, Steve. We've talked about a time or two, but this one is where I still start to say, like, all right, 21st in the Razz Ball, like 5x5 player rater, a 716 ADP. Like, you got to tip your hat. The guy's hitting 316 with 11 homers. He's got four steals, really good production on runs and RBIs. He's on pace for basically 90 runs, 110 RBIs, super productive. Under the hood, what jumped out at me was he's really unlocked power versus lefties. Production all around, he's hitting 357 versus lefties this year, which looks different from last year. However, the barrel rate is still just 6.8%. So when I look at Profar, I think this is the first name we've gone through where I'm like, big grain of salt. I don't think I'm sold to a point where I'm going to say, like, oh, I'm comfortable grabbing Profar in, like, the, I don't know, fifth round next year in fantasy drafts.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you could convince me on that. I think he's definitely a post-hype breakout here, because there was a time when people looked at him like they looked at, I don't know, like Buxton, and – you know, now he's like a shell of that,
like,
from expectations.
He was
right?
In
number one overall,
three at least prospect, okay, with Texas. And it's funny looking at his Savant sliders. If you just do the drop down and go year by year, like, he's always been good with the plate discipline stuff. Never chases, doesn't strike out, doesn't swing and miss a lot, walks a lot, and even squares up the ball well. His sweet spot percentage is always good. And, like, comparing it to last year, like, those things are still really good. There's just a slight uptick in bat speed, barrel rate, and hard hit percentage. Like, it goes from, like, you know, bottom of the barrel, 12%, no pun intended, hard hit percentage, up to league average at 53%, and he's hitting the ball hard 40% of the time. And it just goes to show you, with a guy that has good plate skills and knows how to square up the baseball, if they could just hit the ball a little bit harder more often, it can do wonders. And that's sort of what's led to Profar's post hype breakout. He's had some good seasons in the past too, and has been fantasy relevant. Like, you know, back in he had
2018 20 and 10
2018 yeah 20 he's had 20 homers 2 years in a row with Texas and Oakland respectively. He had 10 steals one of those years too. So one of those was the happy fun ball year in 2019 too. But he's comfortable in San Diego. Like, I think he's really good friends with Fernando Tatis. Like, he's back there after he was cut by the Rockies last year. So I don't think that it's anything to chase going forward as far as like next year, but I don't think that he's like going to fall off a cliff. It reminds me of like a pitcher that just has like a lot of command and sort of just has a good year and goes from that. But I don't know, maybe because he is so old and there's some red flags under the hood that he is a value again next year. Like, I can't see him like being even more than like a pick, the Ozuna range of like 140, even if he does replicate the second half and has an OPS above 890 with 20 homers and 10 steals with a good batting average. I just don't think people would buy into that, despite some of the improvements in hard hit rate and barrel rate. It's still not great, and just a name that people tend to shrug off, but definitely worthy of a first half all-star. His ADP was free, 716. Wow. So undrafted in most leagues. He was an ad, not a draft. Yeah. Even in he's probably sitting on the wire in some draft and hold leagues, just out there. Our draft and hold team has been struggling a little bit here. I'm going to check.
That's exactly why we say, like, when you get in the 40th round, you don't want to be going for the possible prospects. You're looking for guys who are like established, who might get some clock and put in good performance. I mean, last year was JP Crawford. This year it's Profar. I think while you're looking that up, Steve, probably the best, best thing you can point to on his pitcher list page, everything looks very red. You talked about the plate discipline, but the ideal plate appearance for him, which is like barrel plus solid plus flares and burners, he's 70th percentile in the league. And I know Christian Mack came on, talked to us about how sticky that is, how good of an indicator that is. And that is up from every previous year. So that, from like a process standpoint, is encouraging. But then you look at like the BABIP is at 350 versus like 379, or his career BABIP is 272, and it's at 350 this year. So that's just concerning there. I think there is definitely regression from the 317 batting average that we're looking at, but who cares? I mean, it's going to regress to hopefully the 290 XBA. I just think, this one should be falling closer to like pick 100 overall versus certainly nowhere near.
I would take the over on that. I just don't think he's the type of player that
is. Look at what Ozuna
had, 40 homers. I know the position eligibility is there, mm-hmm. but old, boring guys that people don't really believe in.
If you just doubled it, Steve, and regressed a little bit, like let's say 19 homers, 8 steals, hits 300 on the season, but he's like 100 runs in RBIs. 19, 8, 300, 100.
I don't think people buy it. I think that he'll be like pick 120 at most.
Okay, yeah, that probably feels like in the right range. And that's probably where I would have to be seeing him to be interested at all. So, yeah.
I don't know if that's correct to do that either. Like, maybe he should,
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the problem is mediocre. Yeah, mediocre power and speed always is what we go to first. Bryce Terang is the next one, Steve, that we were talking about very early on in the season. It's like, is this for real? It seemed like he was running hot, and he cooled off a little bit, but still hitting .288 on the season. Five homers just for fun, but the 27 steals is unlike Profar. That is something that jumps off the page and gets people attention. However, it's worth noting, Profar has 90 runs and RBIs so far this season. Bryce Terang has just 71 runs and RBIs. So while your eyes are lighting up at the possibility of like a 50 steal season and good average to boot, he has not really been in the mix with all those Brewers offense with kind of an underwhelming runs RBIs look. So yeah, thoughts on Terang, Steve? This is a guy I have no shares of. I put here he's the modern day rabbit because we don't have a ton of them anymore. But I guess it's better than like the old Billy Hamilton because you're getting really good average here. What's your thoughts on Terang?
I think this is kind of like what everyone was hoping Nico Horner would be. Maybe a little more power from Horner. But he's been better than Horner's been this year, especially since the Cubs like don't really run anymore, which is pretty crazy, especially Horner. I know he's been battling some injuries too. You know, the quality of contact looks pretty bad. Like, it's bottom of the barrel, bat speed, barrel rate, hard hit percentage. Even the launch angle sweet spot isn't like ideal, what you would expect from like an Arias or things like that, but he doesn't swing and miss. It's an amazing contact percentage. He doesn't strike out that much. He even, you know, can take a walk too, which is super helpful for speed only guys. Like, even if you do have like it's only a 9.2% walk rate, it's 64th percentile out of all qualified hitters, but that's huge for a guy that has 27 steal and like, you know, 50 steal speed, because it's just another way for them to get on base, especially when they're not really hitting the ball that hard. It's like Steven Kwan with more speed in the infield, and that'll play. Like, that's a fantasy player.
Well, and he's hit 25 games this season. He's hit eighth or ninth, and now Roster Resource has him batting first. He's been there for 33 games. So I might have been a little unfair because that's what I was going to.
Yeah.
Right, when you said Nico Horner.
There should be some uptick in the runs and RBI, right? Right.
Definitely the runs.
That could be huge.
Yeah, and that's like you need, like we always talk about how like runs is like the whip of offensive categories. Yeah. It's always overlooked, but that was what I loved about Nico Horner so much, is he's like a Marcelo Zuna of what he is to RBIs. Horner was to runs. And then you look at Terang and you're like, just the 39, but he has been leading off. So it looks like he leads off against righties and then bats ninth against lefties. But even so, you would imagine he's going to start getting more. He'll probably land around like 90 plus. So yeah, I do like Horner. On the 5x5, he is 43rd, which I think is, you know, better than what he will be drafted at. Again, I think there's going to be some skepticism and everything, but yeah, I'm with you, Steve, that I think this one's got a little bit more buzz to it than Profar, right?
I think so. Especially when it's going to be a gaudy steals total. He had 26 steals and 448 plate appearances last year. He's got 27 in 303 plate appearances this year. So like almost 150 less plate appearances. That's what, like a fourth of the season, essentially. A fourth of the season less. He has more steals already, only caught four times. You know, sure, he's going to be a BABIP dependent player. The power isn't going to be much, but it's also not zero. He's got five already. Like, if you double his stat line and you see 10 steals, 10 homers with 54 steals, and we, like you said, we can expect some uptick, at least in the run category. You know, it could be close to like 100 runs, 10 steals, 50, 10 homers, 50 steals. Like, that could be like a people would start to reach for that next year, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and just trying to see if we can trust if the pop. Yeah, I mean, the barrel rate is so low.
It's so low. Like,
so maybe the 10 is not as attainable.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it might not. I would be surprised if he got the 10 homers, for sure.
Yeah, but I think I do think the runs you can count on improvement, and then yeah, the speed definitely looks real. So
and, just a 24-year-old. And the fact that he has 5 is encouraging, that he's not going to be like a 0, right? You know,
yes,
that's where you get into trouble, where it's like you draft these guys and you draft them for steals. It's like, oh, they have some power. You know, you had 5 in like last year. But it's at least a little bit encouraging as far as non-zero power goes.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like the Rafael Devers speed, you know. It's like you're gonna get
you're 2 to 3 like steals. Yeah, you can count on it. Yeah,
right. 5, 3, yeah. Or Vlad's another one. You're like, how did he get like 8 steals? All right. Well, we got a handful of names here before we wrap up. Stay with us. We got 4 names, fun names left. But we're gonna take our second ad break. We'll be right back after.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings Menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
This. Okay, Steve, starting up segment 3 here with another home league staple for me. It's William Contreras, who, unlike Terang, has been seeing the fruits of the labor with that good offense in Milwaukee. Contreras has just been, especially at the start of the season, excellent. He's still hitting a .292 average, 56 runs, 9 homers, 5 steals, and RBIs, he has 49. So, yeah, here you're seeing more of like the 100-100 trajectory, which is insane for a catcher. Unfortunately for Contreras, we're seeing it's been a very, very rough June where he has just one homer. He's hitting .211 with a .526 OPS. So I had to do some rolling charts to see what's going on there, and it looks like a huge part of that is the decision value. It's just like a steep staircase down from the start of the season, which you do not love to see. The contact rate has stayed the same. The power is a little up and down. But Contreras, you know, I know Scott Chu was huge on him in the offseason. Shout out on that call. Just a 26-year-old. A lot of people were excited about what he did last year and what he could do with the catcher spot this year. I jumped aboard. I am so grateful even after this June. And yeah, I think he's got to bounce back from it. Like, it's June will be his worst hitting month of the season. But I don't know if there's much to add here compared to what we saw last year, where it was a .289 average and an .824 OPS. It looks like he's still on pace for that near 20 homers. But talk to me about Contreras, Steve. What are you seeing?
I think you could expect a lot similar final line to what he had last year, which led him being like either the first or second catcher taken off the board. There may not be the high-end pop like we saw in 2022 when he hit 20 homers in 376 plate appearances. It looks more like it's going to be like a 20 homer around the 600 plate appearance season like he had last year. Everything's pretty much right in line. K percentage, walk percentage is down slightly, barrel rate down slightly, but he's hitting the ball harder, set a new max EV, which is always nice to see. It's a great hitting profile, especially for a catcher. It's obvious why smart guys like Scott Chu like him. What I will say is a few weeks ago, or like a week or so ago now, he did have a concussion. I think he was hit with a bat catching. So maybe that is leading to some of the downturn here in June. I think he missed only a game or two. There wasn't even an IL concussion stint, I don't think, for him. But it could be something that he's just battling through, but it's also just could be the ups and downs of a season. There's really not, like, if you took Contreras with a mid-round pick, mid-six to whatever 10-round pick where he went, you're very happy with the results. I know Adley's having a great year too, but it's pretty much one and two as far as catchers go. You can't go wrong with either. Just as far as ADP value, I think Contreras deserves a shout out considering he was 72nd ADP overall and is 16th on the player radar. A lot of that, sure, has to do with the position eligibility, bump, but it's still a nice profit for those who splurged a little bit early on catcher in drafts.
Yeah, and this might be a little bit of a bold call for a catcher, but right now he's on 9 homers. So if you double it, it's 18 homers. I'd actually take the over on 20 homers because I think just for how chilly the offensive environment was,
and it's to see him to pick up, like. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like
hitter spark.
He cooled off when everything picked up.
Yeah, bad timing for that.
Yeah, and just like he's another one that when we were looking through with remember early on, Steve, we were looking through all the bat speed metrics and like the swing acceleration. He's like top 25 there. Like, I just think, some of the batted ball data, like, I don't know if he's just slumping and this, it'd be interesting to see what his charts looked like in previous years. But it seems like he's just going through a slump. When he's hot, he is like just another level. So I'm hopeful with that park, with the environment hopefully picking up in the weather. And honestly, that division, just thinking through like Reds, Cardinals, Cubs, like there's not a ton of pitching that is like lights out. So anyway, yeah, I think that there is some pop there, but it won't be too far off from what he's done in years past, which is the final line is really good average, chips in on speed a little bit for a catcher, and then around 20 homers. So yeah, happy if you took him there. And 16th overall in the Razzball player raider so far this season. Next up, we got Alec Bohm, which, again, you talk about guys, Steve, that just weren't really on our draft radar. He had a 155 ADP, same range as Ozuna and Duran, where we were kind of looking elsewhere. And Bohm, I don't know. I mean, I think you were fine. I do believe I have a share in an industry league, but how can you predict what has happened between 2023, where he had like a 5.7 barrel rate and then suddenly adds three big ticks to that to an 8.7% barrel rate. All of his sliders have gone from kind of, you know, what you don't want to see on hard hit and chase and everything to really a solid hitter. We always knew he had a solid hit tool, but this year he's had a 304 average, 9 homers, 4 steals. Runs and RBIs solid in that lineup, especially the 64 RBIs is up there with a guy like Ozuna, like we talked about. So Alec Bohm, age 27. I think you're really hoping for him to add pop to his game to continue the barrel rate going up if you want him to be like a fantasy all-star. But in the meantime, this is, you know, just a rock solid like staple in your lineup. And a guy that, yeah, on the Razzball player rater so far this season is 27th overall. So your thoughts on Alec Bohm, Steve?
It's definitely a flaw in my game. Like, I need 30 homer upside from a third baseman, and I don't know if Bohm is ever going to be that, but I think he could be like a 25 homer, 300 hitter, which in today's game with average how it is and it just not being valued by teams, like, you know, there was those George Springer quotes going around about like that scoreboard shouldn't, it's meaningless, like they should, nobody cares about batting average anymore, like it shouldn't even be on the scoreboard. And I get it, but it's also a category in our fantasy leagues that's mm-hmm. important. So maybe it's okay to sacrifice a little bit of pop for a guy that has a really good hit tool, that doesn't strike out, that may not take as many walks as you would hope, but does everything else really well and now has made the quality of contact improvements to go with it, right? Like, it's now above average, well above average hard hit, above average barrel rate, like the chase rate improved, like everything that you wanted him to improve on, improved a good amount. It's just hard to see that coming because, like, looking at it last year, like, it's the most oatmeal and boring oatmeal pick that there could be. Like, I had no thought of drafting Alec Bohm anywhere mm-hmm. this year. Just never even crossed my mind as a possibility, despite the fact that he got to 20 homers in 611 plate appearances, right? Like, that's still decent, but it just seemed so boring. And, you know, it just goes to show that breakouts could happen really for any player. And, like, you shouldn't not consider anyone, despite what some of the savant sliders may say.
Starting third baseman for my TGFBI team, Alec Bohm. But I think it was very much like, you know, it fell to me. I had to deal with it. It's kind of funny, Steve. It's an outrageous comp, but there's a little bit of Yandy Diaz where it's just like, for you're sure. kind of stuck yeah. at like that low 20s, but you're like, oh, the 290 is great. Mm-hmm. And I know Yandy
Diaz
that third
with like
base.
A little more pop, a little less walk. Yeah, well, but it's a similarly shaped production, that's for sure.
Right. Well, let's keep rolling to another corner, and it's Josh Naylor. This was one that we were excited about, Steve. I can't remember what the show topic was. Oh, I think it's...
was it like our parachute positions or something like that?
Yeah, I thought that was... yeah, something like that, where we had Naylor as a very big target, as like a parachute first baseman. Mm-hmm. So this is one that we were somewhat close on, but I don't think we expected the 20 home runs midway through the season. So he is on pace for 40, where you look at like the barrel rate at 11.3%, and that's where it's a career high mark. As is the production to date. I mean, his career high on any season for home runs was 20, and that's what you're looking at right now. That said, what's a little strange is the average is all the way down at 241, mm-hmm. so kind of trading off the contact skills with the power there, because I believe we were kind of saying, I forget if we were saying a little bit of like a Freddie Freeman light, but I thought that
we
that's
were
what
because
we were
the strikeout rate was just 13.7%. It was 94th percentile. It was elite. There wasn't much walk. He did chase a lot, but the hit tool was really good. So we were like, yeah, if he can get to 20 homers, it could be a really good season. But I don't think we thought his production would be shaped this way. And it's still like the strikeout rate's still really good. It's at just 18%. The walk rate even improved a little bit. And the XBA is still 270. So, like, I think there's some room for batting average improvement here while the power gains can remain. Because if he did everything else as is, he's kind of just been unlucky on balls in play. His BABIP is 229. For his career, it's been 286. Last year was 326. You know, he hits the ball hard a good amount. It's a career high at 44.3%. So, you know, he does also run a little bit too. He does have three steals, had 10 steals last year. I think that also played into the bit of the Freddie Freeman comp. Mm-hmm. It's not elite sprint speed. It's pretty bad, actually. But you would think that there would just be some BABIP regression based on his track record for his career. So all things considered, I think that it may be more of like the 256 at the end of the year, 260 like he hit in 2022 with the close to 40 homers. Like, I don't see why that can't continue.
Yeah, I mean, the homer to fly ball, just
yeah,
looking at the pitcher's
that's a good
page,
call. Yeah,
is
yeah,
is super 30% yeah. versus yeah. What was 13 or yeah. 18 the year before that. So yeah. that's got to come down. But yeah, I mean, that, you can't deny the barrel rate improvement. But yeah, Steve, like you said, the batted.
So he may give back a little bit in homers and gain a little bit in steals.
And average.
An average.
Yep.
That's what I meant there. So I think you'll sign up for a 35-260 season.
Oh my
with
god!
With really good
yeah.
counting numbers from Josh Naylor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is he the number one first baseman on the Razzball Player Rater?
Let's look.
It's Harper, and then Naylor. So ahead of guys like Freddie Freeman, Alec Baum at four, Christian Walker. Jake Cronenworth, another guy who was probably a candidate for this show.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Man, that is such a weird list of names for first base. You go all the way down to 73 for Pete Alonso. Ryan Mountcastle is ahead of Pete Alonso. Where is Vlad?
Right behind Pete Alonso.
Okay, yeah, 86 on the player rater. First base. I mean, that was the goon squad question for our listener show is like, what is happening with uh-huh. first base around the league?
It's now,
so.
Well, the answer is Josh Naylor and Alec Baum, of course.
Yeah, who had it on the bingo card, as they say. The last one that we had to throw on here was Elliot Ramos for the Giants, who pretty much got promoted end of May. And just red hot, like might have been the number one player in June with an 8 home run month. On the season, he's got 10 home runs, hitting .295 with an .896 OPS, a 16% barrel rate, which is right up there near the very top. And he was one, Steve, that it kills me because when we were doing all the bat tracking shows, he was constantly up there, number one on the swing acceleration. And that was when he got called up. He had a couple homers. And I remember, because we got that service time rule in my home league where I was mm-hmm. on like day six of rostering like a fill-in Jonathan India. And I was like, man, I wish I could drop him for Ramos, but I had to hold him a seventh day. And then he got picked up and I was like, oh, it's probably no big deal. And then he's just gone on to be
a big deal.
A big deal. So, yeah, Ramos has been fantastic in, you know, a ballpark where it's hard to stand out with power, even ask Jorge Soler. But, yeah, Ramos had to throw him on this list. Steve, what do you think of this guy? Do you think it's legit?
I've seen some, you know, threads on Twitter about Ramos' hard start, how amazing it's been. And then also I've seen some sell recommendations just because he does swing and miss a ton. It's a 13% whiff rate at 31%. He strikes out a ton at 28%. That's 12th percentile. So yeah, I don't think he's a .295 hitter. He's not going to hit .295. His XBA is .258. I think that's what he's going to hit around the rest of the way, maybe less. That being said, mm-hmm. the quality of contact is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I can totally see him finishing with 30 homers and being like an Anthony Santander type of player, which is
okay.
which is good. Another guy that could have been a first half MVP. I see him as like a 240 250 in a good BABIP year, mid-30s, high-30s homers total type of player, which is a really, really good fantasy player. Does have good sprint speed, too. You know, it is a tough ballpark, but, like, looking at his spray chart, like, dude hit bombs. Like,
yeah,
he hits, he hits homers like triple alley in San Francisco. Like, the power is absolutely real.
That's I'm just excited that, like, when you, like, you brought up the Santander comp.
I lost you there, Van.
Oops. Sorry. Yep. I was pulling up that homer bomb that you were referring to
in
Triple Alley, and so it cut my audio. Yeah. But the comp to Santander, I think Santander has a little bit better plate discipline. But one thing that comes to mind when before you like run away because he's got a 28% strikeout rate, knowing the bat speed is the acceleration is number one in the majors. Like, we're not saying it's like 90th percentile. It is the number one. I think about what Eno was saying years back on guys like Luis Robert, Randy Arozarena, Adelis Garcia, where it's like, if you are younger, then you can get away with that bat speed. You know what I mean? Where the bat speed will make up for your lack of plate discipline because you're young and you're athletic. There it is. Look at that. I mean,
beautiful.
Yeah, it's kind of Christopher Morel, too, that 5'11", 188. It's not like the biggest frame for how much pop he has. But, yeah, I just think we might be seeing, you know, at just age 24,
I think that's also new members really good of that comp club. Yeah. And Morel. Like, this could be like a Morel-type run when he first came up.
Without the speed,
There may be some valleys there as far as, like, the batting average with the strikeout rate. But yeah, like that's the type of, I think that's a pretty good comp too.
Can you check, so minors, did he ever run? Cause his sprint speed is 74th percentile, but it doesn't look like he's ran at all. That's like the big difference between, you know, him and some of those names.
He's never had more than 10 stolen bases, and that came in rookie ball back in 2017.
So, maybe a speedless Morel is not a bad comp, right?
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that's Ramos. And I think on the player radar, it's not really fair because he hasn't had as much.
He's been like the best waiver wire ad in like essentially a month worth of games, right? He has 40 or a month and a half worth of games, 43 games played. And he's basically been like the best waiver wire ad with a 896 WRC plus, 10 homers, 35 RBIs. It's been insane.
Yep, definitely a top 30 guy in the past month. So, yep, that's Ramos. But that wraps it up, Steve, unless there's any closing thoughts or guys you want to look at, just kind of cherry picking the list here on Player Raider. I mean, we talked about pitchers and thought it's not as clean.
Yeah,
of a topic,
it's like is your guy hurt? Then he's probably not good. Like, were you banking on, Kevin? Even the guys that have been kind of disappointing. Just with like the pitching environment now and guys hurt, like you still roster Kevin Gausman. He's not like losing the league because you have someone like him. With like a Luis Castillo or like a Pablo Lopez that's going through it. Like if anything, those guys are like buy lows, you know?
I think that the actual all-stars make more sense, which I mean, I don't know that we're going to do a show on it, but we talked about Ranger Suarez. We had Chris Sale, Seth Lugo, Crochet, Flaherty, guys like that. But, we'll be working through topics for next week. We thought hitters, it was more of a clean volume sample, right?
This is a good show to do. And shout out to the Pitcherless Discord and B. Goff and Alex T., Justin Wainwright, who were talking about this earlier in the day to inspire this topic.
Yeah, gotta love it. Well, that rounds us out, guys, for episode 145. As always, you guys can follow us on Twitter at WinsAbovePod. That's where we have the live streams on Wednesday nights. But we'll be here the rest of the season every Thursday, and appreciate you guys being here with us. If you get a chance, please go out, give us a rating and review. It goes a long way. But otherwise, on behalf of Steve Giswelli and Wins Above Fantasy, that is episode 145. Thanks for talking baseball with us.
Thanks for listening, guys. Later.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.